How to avoid the pod-fading fate, and listener comments discussed. Well, this is Spreaker Live Show, episode 98 for January 18th, 2017. My name is Rob Greenlee, and I'm the head of content at Spreaker. Thanks for downloading us and clicking play to hear us today. And I'm going solo this week. I don't have Alex with me. He had an unfortunate blue screen of death on his computer today, so he's going to be fixing that for part of the day today, and hopefully he'll be back with us next week. So, like I said at the top of the show, this week we are going to talk about how to avoid pod fading, and we're also going to talk about what pod fading is as well, if you don't know. So we stream this show live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern at SpreakerLiveShow.com. So let's go ahead and jump in and talk about what pod fading is. Well, pod fading is something that's been around for many, many years, and it's been tracked by a lot of the podcast hosting platforms for many years. As a large percentage of new podcasts especially do what they call pod fading, and what that really means is that a lot of shows, a big percentage of shows, will actually stop producing new episodes after about 7 to 8 episodes. And basically what also happens with this is that a podcaster will basically skip a week. They'll start kind of just slowing down on their production of their show. And this is a common issue that happens for a lot of reasons. I've actually done it. I have to stand up and say that I've pod faded on a podcast or two myself. And it was really in my case, it was done on purpose. And it was also, there's been another example of it happening just because I changed jobs or it was never intended to be a long-term project anyway. So podcasts can be done for a very specific duration and reason. But most podcasts, you kind of want to be serious about it and think more of them as a marathon run, not a sprint. Let's talk about what is pod fading more specifically and what causes it to happen. So maybe you can avoid it as you begin podcasting, or if you're new to podcasting, you don't let it happen to you. So one of the main causes of a podcaster to pod fade would be they run out of stuff to talk about. I'd say that's probably the number one reason that people stop podcasting or they pod fade. The other reason is kind of life gets in the way. Life responsibilities can actually, say you have a family. There's things that happen in your life that don't allow you to have the time to do what maybe is for a lot of you a hobby. It's just kind of like a side project that you want to do to see what you can build. There's delays and things that happen to you, and you get pulled away from doing a regular weekly show. The other cause is just too much work to get an episode out. So I think this is kind of a process issue that you as a podcaster need to work out in your own workflow and not make your production of a podcast too onerous for you to be able to keep up with on a weekly basis. And one way that a lot of podcasters do that is just by doing their show live. I mean, if you do some prep beforehand and you're a pretty good speaker and you have a good grasp on your topic, then just use a platform like Spreaker to just do your show live, and then when it's done, it's done, and you just move on with your day. So a lot of podcasters just do that because it is a time saver. They don't spend a lot of time on post-production. I would recommend just make sure that what you put out, is fairly clean. If you do a show live, just make sure that you're starting right away and there's no big pauses, at the beginning of your show and things like that. And at the end of the show, just make sure you're prompt and turning off the recording and doing, just don't waste your listeners' time is the big thing. So one of the other big reasons that people stop podcasting, and I actually had full-time jobs while I was podcasting for many years of my past, is that the full-time job just doesn't allow you the time that you need to produce your show. Maybe you have to work late. maybe you have to travel. And one of the other things that you can do with like a platform like Spreaker, just to, you know, to help you solve some of these issues, is that when you're traveling on the road, you can certainly record your podcast using the Spreaker tools while you're in your hotel room or when you're on the road. So it does give you that flexibility where a lot of podcasters, you know, in the past, they built their own studios and their bedrooms, and they have this whole huge production thing that they have to do to get an episode out. And it can cause you to skip episodes or miss shows because you're not in your comfort zone or you're not in your studio to actually produce that show. So I think it's helpful, and I moved this direction myself, is to start thinking about producing your show in a lot of different environments and being flexible enough to actually do that and get the hardware that you need and the software that you need to be able to have the flexibility to record your show at home or on the road. So one of the other big areas that can get in the way of keeping up with it is that you do too much editing. So let's say you're recording the show and you're basically doing too much post-production work or publishing work, and a lot of podcasters will actually just burn out. The other big reason people pod fade is that they run out of money to pay for their hosting accounts. So you need to make sure that you can afford what you're doing and budget appropriately to be able to keep up with your hosting accounts and the expenses that it takes to run a podcast. There shouldn't be a lot of expenses that go into making a podcast, but you do have some upfront costs that you have to take into account. But really, your only ongoing cost should be any kind of hosting that you're doing with your website or podcast hosting platforms that you're working with. And you can work with hosting platforms that that kind of offer a page online. If you look at what Spreaker is offering, we do have a web page that's given to you for each of your show that you know, you can point to in social media and drive traffic to your show. So it does come with that. Not all podcast hosting platforms automatically come with a show page. So you have that option with the Spreaker platform. And I would also really plan your show out too. So if you want to avoid pod fading, just make sure that you have a streamlined process of how you produce your show in the pre-show as well as the post-show processes. Maybe pull an outline together that keep you on track. I know that's what I do with this show, is to just, you know, think about what you're going to talk about in your program and outline it in some written form in front of you while you're doing the show. And it will help you kind of stay on track and stay focused on being as efficient as possible and making sure that you cover the topics that you really want to cover in your show too. So that will also keep you from not pod fading as well. And I think another big thing too, is picking a topic for your show that, that you can sustain and talk about over a long period of time. You know, like I talked about at the top of this one, what is pod fading is you run out of stuff to talk about. Well, you need to pick a topic that you're very deep in and what your knowledge is, you know, are that you can cover, and then maybe even be able to tap into a co-host and things like that can maybe kind of take up some of that load that's on your plate to actually produce the show. Next on the list here too is, why should you care about pod fading? So, you know, I think that the big thing to think about there is that it can be embarrassing to your friends and family to quit doing something like this reasonably quickly after maybe 6 to 7 weeks, because you maybe had promoted this effort to your friends and family, and then you just stop doing it. And I think what you want to do, this would be my preference, would be, and I'm going to cover that a little bit later here, but how you can launch a podcast and kind of avoid those kinds of things. Why you really should care about pod fading is you don't want to waste your time and money and your focus in your life on doing something that's not going to have an impact on your life. Because doing podcasts well and driving some success from it can actually have a significant impact on your career and on your opportunities as a person in the world. If you pod fade, you could be missing opportunities that you don't even know that might have come your way if you were able to stay focused and continue doing the show. Let's hop through the list on how to avoid podcasting at the very top level, and I've covered some of these a little bit. Is plan ahead, pick a topic or show theme that you have deep knowledge about and connections to potential guests, maybe find a co-host that maybe has a common perspective on whatever topic that you're talking about is good on the microphone and has a great voice and is of the mindset, and hopefully they have some experience on creating audio. I think that's a big thing to consider as well, is looking for somebody that has a little bit of a propensity to like radio and has maybe some experience at doing audio. I think it really helps. That's what I look for in a co-host as well, is somebody that's used to public speaking and is a leader or an expert in their particular field or area that would be compatible with whatever topic of the show that you're looking to produce. Find an easy-to-publish podcast host, and not host of the show, but a host of your media files. So like a podcast hosting platform like Spreaker. Pick one that you like, that is easy to publish, because that will help streamline your life in actually producing that show. Get easy-to-use a recording equipment and a recording setup. So don't go crazy. I mean, a lot of podcasters, when they start, will go out and spend $3,000 or $4,000 on getting equipment and advanced software and all this kind of stuff. You really don't need to do that to get started. You can always get that stuff later if you find that the show is successful and you want to dedicate more time to it and more investment in getting compressors and higher quality microphones and spending thousands of dollars on setting up a home studio or something like that. That's something that you can do later. Most of the low-cost solutions to getting into podcasting have quality that's sufficient to get you off the ground and get you marching towards building an audience. So I think that's a good way to think about it. Save your money until you know that this is something that you're going to be able to do over multi-year period of time, not just a couple of months. The other big thing that I would think about too is some sort of an agreement in your family with your wife or husband and your kids that a certain day and time each week is dedicated to your podcasting time. And I've talked to many podcasters that have really had to do this because, like I was telling you earlier, life gets in the way sometimes and you get pulled away. Let's say you set up a time like you want to do this at 7 o'clock every Thursday night, as an example. Things happen, right? People's schedules can conflict with that. But, you know, I mean, you do need to be flexible. But if you can have everybody on the same page around when you're going to produce this show, and that's something that you've committed to do and you need to do that every week, and they need to leave you alone so you can complete that task, then I think you're going to stay on track. And I would commit to doing at least 100 episodes of whatever show that you want to launch before you consider pod fading. And that's a significant commitment, but that would be what I would say. I mean, obviously you can do less than that. But if you commit to yourself as a goal that you're going to try and do 100 episodes, then what that's going to do is that's going to put you in a situation where you're doing this for 2 years. And that puts you in a situation where you really know if this is something that's going to work out for you. Obviously you can do it for 25 episodes and you probably can come to the same conclusion, whether or not this is going to be sustainable, because usually if you make it past 7 or 8 episodes, you're probably going to make it to 100. So that's been the pattern that most of us have seen that have been in the podcasting space for as long as I have. And like this show, I'm at episode 98. So I'm pushing that 100 level as well on this show. I'm not slowing down at all. I'm probably getting a little more focused on this show, but kind of what you have to do. Don't pre-record a bunch of episodes before you want to launch your show. I think that's a mistake that a lot of podcasters make, where they'll want to bank a bunch of episodes before they launch the show. So like they'll want to pre-record 5 or 6 episodes before they launch. And I think that's a mistake, because you're not going to learn along the process. I would just produce one episode, put it out, get your show launched, and learn from your audience. It may be a small audience. It will likely be a very small audience. So that's actually a great time to learn, because then you're learning the whole process. You're not pre-producing a bunch of shows before you know what the process is, or you know what you feel comfortable with, or you know what the show needs to be about based on lots of factors. And oftentimes I hear of podcasters that will pre-record 5 or 6 or 10 episodes, and they'll wait, you know, a couple months before they actually will release those episodes. And sometimes the relevancy of the content diminishes over time. So you run into some issues with pre-producing episodes. So I would definitely stay away from that. Don't worry too much if the first few episodes that you're doing are not that great, because chances are the reality is there's going to be very few people listening to those first few episodes anyway. I would say probably after your 5th or your 10th episode, depending on your own gauge of where you are, then I would start really promoting your show and really starting to drive as much, you know, attention to it. Because by 5 or 10 episodes, I think you've pretty much worked out a lot of the technical and process and format issues that you probably have in your show that would hold you back. So I mean, unless you're really polished and you know what you're doing right out of the gate, I would suggest that you kind of learn at the beginning. But obviously, if you're a pro at this and you feel like you can, you've got a great concept, a great show, it's well produced, it flows for you, if you've done one of these before, then just launch out of the gate with the first episode. Maybe even put up a promo for your show, get it into iTunes, and then launch your show like a week later, and really push from episode one. And do as much as you can to get feedback from your audience. Learn from your audience about what you need to do with your show to cater to them, because you are developing a personal relationship with people that are listening to your show, and it's important that you connect with them at that level as best as you can. Now, a lot of shows struggle with getting audience feedback, and it takes time sometimes to make those connections. And oftentimes it's with a small group of people. And this has been the case with talk radio for many years, too. If you think about the numbers of listeners versus the number of people that contribute or offer comments or call in, it's usually just like maybe less than 1 or 2% of your audience. But that's okay. That's normal. But if you can get people to give you feedback in comments in the written form, emails, maybe even voicemail messages, comments on your page of your website, all the better. And you're going to learn from them because a lot of people that will listen to your show will have great stuff to share, and you can actually build a section of your show around their participation. And I think it's powerful. The last topic I wanted to cover on this focus in this show is around, so let's say you've started a show, you pod faded after 6 or 7 episodes, and you want to consider restarting that show. So let's say you change your mind, maybe your life freed up, and you have time now to produce the show that you had started and stopped. My first comment would be is just don't do that. Don't try and restart a pod faded show. I think it's a mistake to actually think that you can revive something like that once it's been stopped. There's a variety of psychological reasons that I wouldn't do it too. I've been through it a little bit myself. I tried to restart a show that I did, and I regretted it later because I just didn't have the focus or the energy or the passion to do it. Because once you close the doors, you've somewhat closed it from a psychological perspective as well. You're better off just kind of regrouping, reshaping the show, renaming it, creating new artwork, and just refresh the whole thing from start to bottom and just do something different. It can be a similar topic or it can be a similar focus, but just make it fresh, make it new. And I think that's the key, and follow all those principles that we had talked about too earlier to avoid pod fading again. That's my advice on that topic and my thoughts. I certainly want to hear from you and what your experiences have been with pod fading. If you've done it in the past, let me know and we can talk about your situation on the show on the next episode and really kind of help other people learn from maybe the things that you did. And I've shared today some of the things that I've learned from going through the process myself as well. This show can be heard in the Spreaker Live Show apps on iOS and Android, in the Spreaker Podcast Radio apps for Android and iOS. Talk also can be found in iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play Music. Like I said, please leave a review or a comment on the SpreakerLiveShow.com website, and or you can send me an email. Send it to rob@Spreaker.com. I do have a Twitter account at Rob Greenlee, and Spreaker has a Twitter account as well at Spreaker, and we have a website, Spreaker.com, and a blog too. So if you want to keep up to date with what's happening with the Spreaker platform, go to blog.spreaker.com. So let's move on and talk about some listener comments that we had on the show from last week on the Spreaker Live Show 97. We talked about ad revenue sharing program that we launched as a beta last week. And I got a comment from Francesco, who's the CEO of Spreaker. He asked made a comment more than anything else. And he said, I guess it will work differently for live content than for pre-recorded. For live, the ad insertion point can simply be triggered by pushing a button. So as we talked about the new ad revenue program, we're going to be enabling more capability for you, the podcaster, to have control over when those ad placements happen. And one of those things is covering live content. And I hadn't talked about that on the last show. Francesco pointed it out. And so I actually responded, you are right about live insertions. I didn't cover that on the show. And it's an interesting topic for a future episode. So as we kind of move into doing these ad revenue sharing programs on the platform with our podcast hosts, the live part needs to be considered as well. We also talked about how many tags a podcast should have on the Spreaker platform. Linda Irwin offered a comment here as well. Spreaker currently has 5 tags as the capacity. She thought that maybe 7 tags would be better. That offers a couple more options for tagging your show by a keyword. And Linda also added that she would want more control over the ad insertion points. And I agree, and that is definitely part of the plan going forward in the future with this ad sharing program, is to give you, the podcaster, more control over any kind of mid-roll insertions. Currently, the ad revenue share program right now is a pre-roll only. But as we move into ad insertion, into downloads, as well as kind of streaming plays, you'll have more control over that. That's our plan. And Linda Lass asked, there's a rumor that Google is going to buy SoundCloud. I wonder what changes that's going to bring. Well, until it happens, it's hard to say. But I would say it's an interesting connection between those two companies. But we'll have to see, and we'll talk about it on the show if and when it happens. Thank you so much, Linda and Francesco, for jumping in here and contributing to the Spreaker Live Show. We appreciate it. And I'll have to have Francesco on the show again here in the near future to share a little bit more on what's happening with Spreaker. So anyway, give the show a review and a comment in iTunes if you happen to be listening to us there. That would be fantastic. I'd love to hear your feedback there. But I certainly appreciate you joining me on the show. It's a little bit shorter show without my co-host, Alex. Hopefully you'll find it helpful as you podcast. So, and thank you so much for listening. And I hope to have you back with us next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Spreaker Live Show. Thank you.